Today's Tanya for the 29th of Shvat, Chof Tet Shvat, is at the end of Perek Chof He, chapter 25, and it's on page 337 in Lessons in Tanya. The Alter Rebbe is saying how in the doing of a mitzvah there is an aspect, an element of accomplishment that is greater than the refusal to bow to an idol. In bowing to an idol, you maintain whatever relationship you have with God, and you don't allow that relationship to be damaged. But no greater connection is achieved. Whereas when a person does a mitzvah, the result of every mitzvah is that the soul and the animal soul and the garments of the soul all become totally one with God's will, which is one with Him. That's the first advantage in the doing of the mitzvah over not bowing to an idol. The second part of it is, the second detail is, that what is accomplished through the act of the mitzvah is permanent, and what is prevented by not bowing to an idol is temporary, because a person can always do tshuva for bowing to the idol. So the separation would be a temporary one, whereas the bond brought about through a mitzvah is permanent. And this bond, this attachment that is achieved through the act of the mitzvah, is permanent and forever. Because God is higher than time, above time. And so too, his will that is revealed in Torah is also eternal. As it says, the word of God stands forever. It also says his words live and endure. And also God will never alter or change his law. And so the Torah that expresses God's will is also eternal, and the bond that one achieves with godliness through Torah is an eternal bond. Elo shalemato hutachas hazman. However, that part of the neshama that is subject to the body, the part of the neshama that is below, that is subject to time. And therefore, it is connected in this oneness to God only for the time that it is doing the mitzvah. Because achar kach im esik bedover acher, but if afterwards he goes and he does something else, nifred mehayichud ha'elyim amata, then he becomes separated from this oneness here below, in his conscious mind, in the conscious heart. Not in the bond itself remains forever, as he said before. But as far as the person's experiencing the bond, he experiences it during the time of the mitzvah. But afterwards, if he does something else, he can sever his conscious connection to that bond, the hainu. And even that is not merely when he does something else, but only kisha'esik bedvarim betelim legamri sha'em behem tzeirach kwal avedas Hashem. It's only if he occupies himself that in something totally unnecessary in the service of God. But if what he does after the mitzvah is not a mitzvah, but useful in the service of God, it helps maintain his health, it helps maintain his simcha in the service of God, then he doesn't lose the conscious hold of that oneness. And then, even after he has consciously separated himself by doing something that is completely separate and unnecessary in the service of God, when he comes back, he does tshuva, and he goes back to Torah and to Tefillah, and he asks God to forgive him for having wasted time that he could have used for the study of Torah, Hashem yislachli, God forgives him. K'may merazal, over al mitzvah saseh v'shov, loizoz mishoa machameichlimli. That the tshuva that one does for a positive mitzvah, for not having fulfilled a positive mitzvah, is immediately effective. That if he doesn't do a mitzvah and he does tshuva, regrets not doing the mitzvah, then he doesn't leave there without being pardoned. So the forgiveness is immediate. And it is for this kind of tshuva that tiknu birchas slach lanu shalish pamim b'chol yeim al ovim bitul teiva. That's why we say three times a day the bracha of slach lanu, asking God for forgiveness. It is asking for forgiveness of wasting time from the study of teiva. She'ein adam nitzol mimenu b'chol yeim. Because as the Gemara says, a person that is not free of this sin every day. One doesn't escape from this sin, even three times a day. And the davening is the replacement of the karbonis, of the sacrifices, and the daily sacrifice was to bring forgiveness for the failure to do a mitzvah, or the failure to study when there was an opportunity to study. And this is also not, I will sin and then do tshuva, where tshuva is not, you don't get an opportunity to do the tshuva. Because Elohim came, when is it echteva oshuv, only shebishas hachet mamish, hu seimech al hatshuva v'lekachet. It's only that while he's doing the sin, he relies on the tshuva to permit him to sin. K'meshikosev mokimachet, as is explained elsewhere. See, here when a person separates himself from the oneness by doing something other than Torah and mitzvahs, and then goes back to doing Torah and mitzvahs and asks God to forgive him, then he is forgiven immediately because he didn't sin by relying on the tshuva. The sin was, in a sense, an innocent sin. He sinned because that's what had the nature of the Yetzer Hara, the nature of the human being. And he did tshuva as a sincere regret, and so he is forgiven. So the oneness that is created by the performance of a mitzvah is a permanent one. And even if temporarily he consciously loses hold or loses sight of that oneness, he regains it immediately upon doing tshuva. In the Hayem Yerim for Chof Tes Shvat, the 29th of Shvat, the Rebbe writes, Adir Alte Rebbe Tamol Gezogt, the Alter Rebbe once said that Pirush Rashi of Chumash is Yeino Shel Torah. The Rashi's commentary on Chumash is the wine of Torah. Peseyach Halev u'megale ava v'yira atzmis. It opens up the heart and it reveals an essential love and fear, a love and fear that is essential to the heart. Pirush Rashi of Gemara, Rashi's commentary on Gemara, on the other hand, is Peseyach Hameyach Umegale Seichel Atzmi. The commentary on Gemara, Rashi's, opens up the mind and it reveals an essential intelligence.